So some people our age still don't know what they want to achieve when they leave school. Have you always been interested in sustainability and what inspired you to get into green growth and development?
So yeah, I have to be honest. This was not the path that I was imagining when I started university. It was something that I've always been interested in, and I'm not afraid in saying that. When I was a child, also, I used to run small campaigns in in the village where I used to spend my summertime with my friends. That's absolutely true. So I used to, let's say, I started absorbing also these environmental instances that started growing around me, but then, to be honest, I kind of didn't. I didn't think to make it my career when I entered university. But what I also think is that when you have some inner passions, they tend to then come up when you grow older. And sometimes this can happen very also very surprisingly to you. So I've always been very interested also in the political side of it, so how to manage a system. Sustainable growth and to make it also inclusive. So, taking it also into consideration other parameters. So I kind of was able to also choose some courses inside my university such that I could also be more prepared for that. And then I actually grasped an opportunity inside the OECD last year where I started working for the Environment Directorate. So once you were there, you started to be interested in those topics, and then also for these types of opportunities that came afterwards, like at the G7, I was able to tailor, let's say, my profile more in depth. I do think that it's important also as a message for young people to really, it is not rhetoric. It is really do what you think you can give the most of yourself in. Also, and you will see this because really, when you are a worker, also or a researcher, or whatever you want to do, or even a student at the beginning, you tend to give more to the things where you feel the most yourself in. So, this is very important. It's important for you as a student or as a worker, but also for your future professors or recruiters, because they do feel this passion. And so, you will tend to be a better candidate and a better worker. I can truly assure you this.
Nice. That's really good. Yeah. Okay. So the Y7 has given young people a platform to voice their opinions. What do you personally want to achieve by being part of this?
Inside the Y7, we were also given the not the chance in itself, but like also the opportunity to also for being a better candidate, better delegate, sorry, to also listen from our, let's say, the young cohorts inside our nations. So one of the things that I enjoyed the most was also to listening to the different instances of young people. And so one of the things that I also asked the Y7 then as a process was also to make these voices being heard in the best way possible. And one of the things that we did was also to listen to the little NGOs or organizations that are very local, because in this way I really had the impression to be the closest possible to some communities that were looking at the Y7 as something that was really as a major opportunity for them to be inside also this negotiation. So I can say that for me the Y7 was also a way to give voice also to them. And in the case of climate and environment, this was extremely useful because also initially, but I saw it a lot also in the UK, it's really plenty of small organizations also run by students or young workers that are trying to make their voice heard in terms of how to better manage their environmental landscape. You're in Cornwall, so as you were saying, you're pretty aware of all of this. But the same really happens in Italian coasts or also inside in the landscapes in the countryside. So it was good also to bring my contribution for them all.
How did it feel to meet people with the same passions as you?
It was incredible, and I have to say that one of the well, what happened in the climate environment track was that, in my opinion, at least at the beginning, there was much more of a uniform uniformity also in terms of our thoughts, because I tend to see the young people much concerned about climate and environment, and sometimes this also overcomes national differences, which was extremely interesting. Also, I can say that also as a political science student, you know, to see that there are some topics where we tend to be a little bit more uniform. Then, of course, with time going by, we also saw which could be the differences, which are absolutely important also to preserve. But what was interesting to me was also the different backgrounds that was behind each and every delegate, because if there was a delegate that was more in humanitarian, say, with a humanitarian background, they tended to be, let's say, closer to the impact of climate and environmental, also in terms of policies, also for their like more marginalized or indigenous communities, which was extremely interesting. For example, for me as an Italian delegate, where for us, let's say, talking about vulnerable communities means maybe just in terms of, let's say, poorer state of society, while in other countries, and also as G7, we also wanted to have this international dimension. So it was really important also to keep this dimension of local and indigenous people. And for me, this was a source of further knowledge and further also, let's say, a 360 degree of what the reality is. Because sometimes maybe because of your personal background or your national origin, maybe you didn't have that focus, maybe you just heard that, but you didn't really, you weren't really involved in that. So that was also very interesting.
And obviously you've done lots of amazing work, but if there was one thing about climate change or about sustainability that you wished was more talked about, what would it be?
Great question. Thanks for raising it. I think that one of the things where we could coordinate a little bit more was about like the green skills that will be more more useful for the youth of today and the youth of tomorrow, because we really want also to have this focus of you know, to making waves also meant for the future generations of youth, not only the youth of today. So I think that one of the but this is also how real life is, you know, when you have certain competencies that spill over one track to the other, like green skills also means, you know, in terms of economy, in terms of education or future of work, you know, in those kind of things, it was kind of it was a little bit more complicated than expected to coordinate with the delegates of other tracks. But I mean, this is real life, it can happen. Maybe it is not the it is not something that we did for 2021. Maybe they will do it in 2022. It's not of course a problem, but probably that would have been something where we could do a little bit more, also because I do know that the UK is also much concerned about this topic of green education and also in schools. So probably we could have done a little bit more, but you know, that was just the beginning. So.
As we already said, in Cornwall we've started to see more frequent storms, and there's concern about sea level rise as we're surrounded by coastline. However, we know that climate change does not affect everyone equally. In your experience, who are the people most likely to see the consequences of this?
Yeah, the problem of, especially of, let's say in general, we tend to talk about climate change, but actually I prefer talking about environmental crisis in plural, because there are several. I'm much concerned, for example, so of the one of natural, of the loss of natural capital and of biodiversity, which tends to be separate from climate change. Actually, they two are much intertwined, also because climate change is also one of the causes of biodiversity loss, and in general, biodiversity preservation could also have biodiversity. Climate change. So you know, there are a lot of intertwines, and but what happens? There's something that all these crises have in common, that they tend to exacerbate, not only replicate, but exacerbate global inequalities. And that's incredible, because you tend to have this kind of global north and south, in the way they are mentioned. They tend to be even exacerbated because climate change, for example, the increase of global temperature tends to affect, of course, a continent like Africa. And we have, like, there are some territories in Africa that are simply not inhabitable anymore, which means that people will tend to emigrate, and there's something very natural because simply those territories are not able to host other people. And at the same time, then you have a global north, like, for example, continental Europe, that is, of course, one of the wealthiest areas in the world, where, you know, that little increase in temperature could even help a little bit living in a better patterns of, you know, everyday life, but also for agriculture, this can be also a little bit better to have some degrees more. So you see, you tend to have two very different pictures from the same, from the same phenomenon. It's not rhetoric to see that really that there are some vulnerable people of today and of 20 years ago that would be even more vulnerable with the same with this phenomenon that we are seeing in environment.
Yeah. And so, have any of your aims or viewpoints changed throughout your career?
Yeah, definitely. Also, this kind of thing that I mentioned to you before of biodiversity loss, natural capital. This is not something where I was much not interested because it wasn't simply because maybe I didn't have the chance to really look at it. And then after my first experience that I had at GOECD, where I had the occasion to delve into this issue a little bit more, I also started seeing how important this issue is and how related also to other environmental crises we are, it is. And so also personally, I started growing my interest in it. So there's no, I also tended to be a little bit more afraid maybe when I changed my mind, when I saw something that interested me, because I was like, okay, so maybe am I losing my focus on what I'm doing? Actually, then you realize that there are several things that can go together, and that if you're curious about something, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.